Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. Well, this Saturday morning, we're going to be talking to a fellow named Tom Ashley, who grew up here in Jessamine County in Nicholasville. His grandfather came here in the early 1900s and opened the C.T. Ashley Feed Store. His dad was also here in our community, and his dad also worked on the Oak Ridge nuclear bomb project. He's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about growing up in Nicholasville and how it was back in those days. We'll hear from Tom right after this word from our sponsor, Sutherland Chevrolet.
Neighbor, I buy my cars and trucks at Sutherland Chevrolet right here in Nicholasville because I know who they are. They've been in business here since 1925, and they're always honest and ethical. This is a hometown dealership. No high-pressure sales tactics, no lot lizards, no sleazy come-ons. Just local people treating you the way they'd like to be treated when buying a car or truck. Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville. A different kind of automobile dealership.
We are here on this Saturday morning with All Things Jessamine, and as we continue our quest to preserve the past, I am proud to have a gentleman who grew up in our county, graduated from Jessamine County or Nicholasville? Jessamine County High. And his dad owned a feed store here in our community for many years. But with us today, our guest, Tom Ashley. Welcome, Tom. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
We want to talk a little bit about your dad and the Ashley family in general, but let's start talking about you. You are in Richmond now, I understand.
That's right.
And we'll kind of go through how that all evolved, because you've been a lot of different places.
Yeah, I have.
And I didn't have the pleasure of knowing you guys personally until our Facebook page that a lot of people are now a member of. And it's amazing at how many people on that page that I have heard of in my life and just did not know because of my age. And now I do. And so it's been a great thing. I've heard my parents talk about some of these people, but I just didn't know who they were. So I'm glad that that has made the world a little smaller for us anyway. But Tom, talk to us about your recollection of Nicholasville and Jessamine County, your background when you graduated, things like that.
Well, I was born at Good Sam in Lexington. Mm-hmm. But, of course, lived here in Nicholasville until Glenda and I married in 1963. So I went to elementary school and high school all mm-hmm. in the same building mm-hmm. and graduated in 1959 with the first graduating class of Jessamine County High School.
Right, because before then we had Nicholasville, we had Wilmore, and Dunbar, I guess. And those three went together and became Jessamine County High, and were you the first one that graduated from that? Now, was that at the current building out on Wilmore Road? Was it the new building?
No, it was still the building.
Down on Maple?
Down on Maple.
Yeah.
And I was there for 12 years.
Yeah. So you were there, 59, 12, you were there after Nicholasville burned.
Oh, yeah.
After the burn, okay.
Yeah, I don't remember it, but my parents tell me that they took me up to watch it burn.
Yeah.
And they told me that it was a hot school.
Well, it was.
And so if you remember the cannonball-like road flares mm-hmm. that you used to see that were lit to direct traffic, I referred to those as hop schools for about 10 years.
Really, hop schools. What about that? But you graduated in 59, and what happened then?
Well, I went to Transylvania College, and the very first thing that happened to me was that I ran into a girl who was from my grandmother's hometown.
Yeah.
And we were in line to register for a class. And we began to talk, and I found that we knew people in common, though we'd never met. And by the time we got to the point where we were to register, we got to be pretty good friends.
Yeah.
And we've been pretty good friends ever since, because we were married 4 years later and have been since.
Well, I tell you, if you were in line and became good friends, that tells me that either that was a pretty long line or you were pretty smooth talking.
Well, the story goes on. It was a long line because it was for English, and of course everybody has to take English. So we walked up together finally to register, and they said, "Oh, you don't need to be in this line."
Oh, no. So if you had known that from the start, you two may not have been together.
That could have happened because the only class we had was an English class.
Wow.
And we'd been automatically registered for it.
So that tells you that this was meant to be.
I suppose it does, because she never, until maybe our relationship developed, never darkened the door of the science building.
It's funny how fate makes these things happen, and they're meant to happen. So you go to Transylvania, you meet your future wife, and you graduate with a degree in?
In mathematics and chemistry.
Yeah.
It started out to be something different, but as it developed, I wanted to change my major from math to anything, almost.
Yeah.
And my advisor did a little research for me, and he said, about the only other thing you can major in and get out in 4 years is chemistry. So I said, that sounds good.
Okay. Which is a hard subject.
That's how I became a chemist.
Yeah. What? Where'd you go after that? Where was your first job?
Well, right out of school, I went to Ohio University to graduate school. That's the one in Athens, Ohio, not Columbus. And we were there for a year, and I decided to break my vow of poverty and get a real job. And so I took a job with Ashland Oil in Ashland. And I was there for a couple of years and then went back and completed my master's degree at Marshall in Huntington, right across the river. So really took all the coursework that it would be required to get a doctorate, but the vow of poverty was just too much.
Didn't quite get to that point.
No, I couldn't liked money and things too much, I guess.
I may be jumping ahead too quickly, but didn't you work in Tennessee at a place that's pretty well known?
Well, no, that was my dad.
Your dad did, okay. And we'll if you can talk about that now, or we can talk about that later.
We can do that. One of Dad's interests, although of course he worked for my grandfather's businesses, which included the C.T. Ashley Company and also the camp at Lake Harrington. But he was always interested in electronics. And so he went to the University of Kentucky for a year, maybe an additional semester, and that's when the war started. So he began teaching recruits basic electronics to prepare them for whatever military careers they were going to pursue. And one night after class, two guys in black suits approached him, and they represented, as all guys in black suits do, the U.S. government, and asking how he'd like to stay out of the war. And he responded that he'd like to stay out of the war quite a bit.
Sure.
And by the end of the evening, they had offered him a job at Oak Ridge, which was the home of the atomic bomb as we knew it then. And he started almost immediately before much was built. And so he stayed in the dorm at the University of Tennessee and rode a bus to work. And a year or so later, we were able to join him. They were building prefab houses like there was no tomorrow. And we had one of those and stayed until the end of the war. And he had the option of staying on or doing whatever else he wanted to do. And his dad offered him to come back, gave him a house, and gave him a job at the C.T. Ashley Company again. And so that's how we came back to Nicholasville after only about 3 years.
The Oak Ridge, and I'm just curious, Was it, when he was there, was that pretty much a hush-hush project?
Oh, absolutely.
When at what point in time did people, I guess even people around that area of the country, when did they realize what's really going on over there?
After they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima.
So they did a really good job of keeping that very quiet.
He didn't know.
Really? You know,
he didn't even know.
That's amazing.
There were a handful of people who knew.
Yeah.
And there were, actually, the building where he worked was called Y-12, which is just map coordinates.
Right.
And it was the largest building in the world. Now, think about that. They started building it in 1942.
Uh-huh.
They finished it in 44, and it was the largest building in the world.
In Little Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
And, yeah.
Where nobody would think.
Yeah,
that
Oak Ridge was, you know, not even a crossroads
right.
at the time.
Right.
But it was in a valley, which they felt would be well, easily defended.
Mm-hmm.
And it also had an endless supply of electricity, which they needed desperately
right.
with the TVA dams.
Right.
So that was a pretty easy choice for them.
Do you remember what were people's reactions around that area when they finally figured out, well, that's what's been going on over there?
Yeah, that was kind of the reaction. Well,
yeah.
You know, everybody was happy to know what they'd been doing, and they were happy that it had contributed to the end of the war.
Sure.
Because the predictions were that we would lose hundreds of thousands of American
yeah.
lives in an invasion.
Pretty amazing. What particularly did he do?
He was a technician
uh-huh.
involved in what they called electromagnetic separation, which was a highly inefficient process.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they had the biggest building in the world to do it. And during the time that he worked there, they developed a more efficient means, and it's the one we use today, the one that uses centrifuges
mm-hmm.
to produce and enrich the fissionable material. So, you know, they phased out the operation in Y-12. It's still there and full mm-hmm. of labs now.
Mm-hmm.
So they only really made one bomb and probably had the material for a second one at the time that they shut it down.
Pretty amazing.
A more efficient process.
Well, we'll kind of backtrack now a little bit because we want to join this story together. You talked about he came back to the feed store. Let's go back to how the Ashleys ended up in our county even to start with. And I guess that goes back to your grandfather, is that right?
Well, I suppose it does. I guess the first time we see the Ashleys in Kentucky, it was in Pulaski County, based on a land grant
mm-hmm.
resulting from one of our ancestors' participation in the Revolutionary War. Then my part of the family, at least, left Pulaski County and moved several times.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time my grandfather was born, they were in Indiana. And not sure exactly when it happened, but they took an interest in the timber business
mm-hmm.
and seemed to prosper pretty well. And around 1900, my grandfather came to Kentucky, to the Torrent Leco area up around Natural Bridge.
Now you are his namesake, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. CT, or is your first name Carl also?
It is.
Okay. Carl Thomas.
I've always been Tom, and my dad was always
okay.
Tom.
Okay. So are you the third?
Yes.
All right.
And so they settled there, and of course you probably heard too many times about how all of eastern Kentucky was stripped of timber
right.
in the first years of the 20th century, and I guess he participated in that.
Mm-hmm.
But not only did he enrich himself off the timber, then at just about the right time, they struck oil on the property he had bought.
What about that?
And so there was another infusion of cash and stock from Ashland Oil
right.
in the very early 1900s. So around 1906, for reasons I don't know, my grandfather, C.T., moved to Nicholasville. My grandfather opened a business at the corner of 3rd and Oak in what's now Rock Fence Park.
Right.
And there was an existing building downtown at Main and Oak on the northeast corner that was a feed, seed, and grain business.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point he bought into that and then bought all of it. And in 1908 it became the C.T. Ashley Company.
Now, for reference, we were talking about this earlier. That would be the corner, which is now CVS parking lot.
That's right.
But it's the corner closest to the courthouse, for those that aren't from around here. Because you were telling me, and one time in that one block where CVS is, I guess Keller Ford was right in the middle.
Yeah.
Now, on the northern corner of that, gas station?
Yes.
And taxi service, I think. And then on this building would have been on the southern corner of that particular end of the block.
And it was right up against the street. Mm-hmm. There's a sidewalk between the building and the street, so it really occupied the very corner.
Did it face Main?
It kind of faced Main.
Yeah.
It actually had a diagonal entrance.
Okay.
Like Hemphill's Drugstore.
Yes,
had.
Yes.
And so it sort of faced both streets.
Okay.
The lot was very deep. I don't even remember how far back it went, mm-hmm. but I know they had equipment for cleaning grain at the back of the lot, and then there were places for chickens and lots of storage space. And then it had parking between Keller's and the Main building as well.
Take us on down the line as far as the children and how that order is.
During the time that he lived in or around Torrent, mm-hmm. he married a girl that he'd met in Arkansas in the previous year. And they had a child that died at 18 months and is buried in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then their other children were born in Nicholasville.
Which would have been your dad?
Would have included my dad.
Yes.
And he had two brothers and two sisters.
And I understand from some information that I got, which I think your wife wrote, that your grandmother, isn't that Ethel?
Yeah.
Actually lost her sight before your dad was born.
That's right, and fairly shortly before he was born. Yeah, she was, I don't think they could understand it or put a name to it then,
yeah.
but she was sitting on the front porch and just mentioned to a lady who was with her that it's getting awfully dark, we must be about to have a storm.
Wow.
And that quickly.
And it was just that fast.
Yeah.
So your dad was born, Carl Thomas Jr. Take us on down the line with your dad, who your dad married and how you came to be.
Well, Dad began dating my mother, who lived in Lawrenceburg, mm-hmm. in the early 30s. And we have her diaries, and it's really interesting to follow the progress of their relationship. And I think they must have gone to one or maybe two movies mm-hmm. a day through that whole time, and for that matter, for years after.
Right.
And she loved nothing so much as books and movies, and then, of course, television.
Yeah.
Dad married her, and then it wasn't too long after that, of course, that while he was working for the... Well, actually, I think he spent the summers at the lake, but he worked for the C.T. Ashley Company in the winter. And then, of course, came the Oak Ridge episode pretty quickly after that. And I was born just before the war started in April of 41.
He came back to Nicholasville, and as you said, your grandfather took him in, just the business, and mm-hmm. he's the house. What did he like the most? You know, because that's two different worlds when you think about it. I mean, you're sitting in this building in Tennessee, not really having a clue what you're doing except you're working for the government, and working with things and that have names that are far above my head, and you go back to this town called Nicholasville, where you have been, and self-feed. Did he ever say what he liked the best?
Well, I think you can infer some of that from the fact that he also had, in the evenings, he opened a radio and TV repair shop so that he was able to satisfy his interest in electronics in that way. And he ran that for several years, and it was on Main Street, and he would go in at night. You know, I think he liked both. He loved working with people.
Right.
And that he loved about the store.
Did you work the store, or was it gone by that time?
No, it was, by the time I was old enough to work there, it was gone.
Yeah. Did your dad continue his TV repair shop after that, or?
No, in fact, fairly soon after the television came along, he decided the workload was too much mm-hmm. because with tubes
right.
and so many of them,
right.
TV sets broke down a lot.
Yeah.
And it was mostly house calls.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody bring in a big console.
Sure, they were big, yeah.
Yeah. So he decided that wasn't for him. And actually, at about that time, around 1960, he went into the insurance business. And I think that probably suited him better than anything because he traveled around the state. He represented a company that sold insurance primarily through banks and financial advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And it meant that he was on the road 2 or 3 days, 4 days sometimes a week, covering the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
And mother would go with him when they felt like it. And, you know, I think that was the part of his life he enjoyed most.
I know that they lived up on Bell Court for many years.
Yep.
The house is still there, right by Maple Grove Cemetery. Now,
right.
You grew up in that home, correct?
I did.
And first obvious question that I would have is, how'd you like living across from a cemetery?
Made no difference at all to me.
One of the best pictures that I think that we have had on our Facebook page you took in the cemetery, and it was in the wintertime, and that's the one of Fred Jackson in his wagon there in the cemetery. But at some point in time, you got really interested in, I guess because of your dad's interest in electronics, but you kind of became a photo nut, and you have provided us with some great pictures of that day, of those days. So let's talk about you. What your interest in how all that got started in high school, and also your remembrances of some of the things growing up here during that time.
Sure. Well, relative to photography, Dad took all the pictures in the house probably up until around 1956 or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I took an interest and did a little bit, but even black and white film and processing was not inexpensive
right.
for a kid, and color was way not inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do too much of it until during that time Hayden Iglehart was the pastor of the Nicholasville Methodist Church, and Hayden was deeply interested in photography. He also traveled quite a bit, went to the Holy Land and one thing and another, and took a lot of pictures, and he began to coach me a little bit in photography. And then at one point he offered to sell me an older camera that he had. It was a Leica, which photographers consider the absolute pinnacle of
mm-hmm.
cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out from my dad how much money I had, and that's what he charged me for. That was about a fifth of what it was worth,
yeah.
but I didn't know that. So that really lit my fuse as
right.
far as photography is concerned. And from about 50, well, certainly 57 until, well, it really until now.
Right.
It was a consuming hobby, but it had to share time with amateur radio, and
mm-hmm.
that started roughly at the same time in the mid-50s, and I still pursue that.
That's got to be an interesting thing, because I guess that's almost like a, somewhat like a treasure chest. You just don't know what you're going to get and who you're going to talk to.
Well, that's right, and that's one of the interesting aspects of it. Contacted some well-known people like Barry Goldwater and
yeah.
King Hussein when he was alive.
Wow.
Of course, most people are aware of who these the famous amateurs
right.
are, and there's a lot of competition for a contact with them. But you know, with a little luck and persistence, I was able to make those contacts. But I've contacted all but two of the countries in the world.
What about the, what are you missing?
North Korea, does that surprise you?
That's, yeah.
I'd say until Kim gets his own license, that probably won't
yeah,
be.
Yeah, you're probably account. Right.
And one of the very famous now islands in the South China Sea called Scarborough Shoal, which is claimed by China, and right now that's your
quest.
And those are the two.
Well, tell us about your general remembrances of the way things used to be. You know, you look at some of these pictures that you've taken. For me, it's kind of like when I mention Ward's Bakery to people, one of the first things that they say is, oh, I can smell it now.
Oh, yeah.
Just all you have to do is say the name and that instant recognition. And your pictures have done that for me in a lot of ways, especially some of the inside shots of hemp hills.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing, if I could give advice to people today, it would be to take pictures of the ordinary things mm-hmm. that you see and do, and not just the special events.
Right.
Because I wish I had a lot more pictures like that.
Well, and you've got some that are great, but it's good to do those kind of things. And the thing I appreciate about them most is also some of the people that are in them. I know there was one that I remember specifically that is inside of Hemp Hills, but it's of Kreiner, and I think Mary Pat Monahan.
Most likely.
But it was good. It was a beautiful picture of them, but it also showed the background of Hemp Hills, and that's been really neat to me. It's so important, I think, to be able to preserve that kind of thing for future. And what makes me sad is a lot of the younger people, that doesn't matter to them, and I hate that.
It probably will.
And I hope it does someday. But growing up here in this place when you were a teenager, a whole different world, wasn't it?
It really was, and I'm just delighted to be in touch with so many of my friends, some of whom I had lost touch with. Mm-hmm. And so we're reminiscing on Facebook quite often.
Right.
We haven't all managed to get together. I haven't been able to see them in recent years, but it does bring a lot back. And I think of Hemp Hills as sort of the backdrop of my life mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we... would drop in there after school from the time I was in at least the eighth grade, maybe before, pretty much every afternoon. And then we'd all gather there on Sunday because we had the Baptists and the
right.
Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Christians all within easy walking distance.
Right.
It was a great place to grow up, and I hear that so much from the people that I'm in touch with again.
Mm-hmm. So many great memories of this place. And as you said, I have seen, especially on the Facebook page, people who don't live here and haven't lived here for a while. You can tell by comments they make and things they said, this is still home.
Oh, yeah, and I certainly feel that way.
Yeah. Tom, thank you. This has been most interesting. And I appreciate the fact that people like you and others that we have talked to is willing to share with us a little bit of the history of their family and what it meant to be in Jessamine County. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Well, my thanks to Tom Ashley for coming in and talking to us about the way things used to be in the Ashley family in Nicholasville. Next Saturday, another edition of All Things Jessamine, sponsored by Sutherland Chevrolet. We do it at 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings, right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Neighbor, there's nothing that makes me madder than buying something today and finding a lower price tomorrow. That's why I only buy tires at Sutherland Chevrolet in Nicholasville. They have the price match guarantee. If you purchase any brand name tires from Sutherland and you see that brand available somewhere else for a cheaper price in the next 30 days, they'll refund you the difference. That's just one of the honest and ethical business practices you'll find at Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville. A different kind of automobile dealership.